From Studio 22, you're listening to ServeCast with your host, William Lamb. ServeCast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William.
Hey, welcome to ServeCast. We are glad you are back with us. And my guest today in this room, well, let me stop and say, hey, welcome back, co-host. We're glad you're here, Kristen.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Lamb.
I know you don't always get in the room with us, but we're glad you're here today.
Glad to be here.
You're getting ready to go home for Christmas break in a few months. No, a few weeks, maybe, I guess.
A few weeks. Feels like a few months, though.
But today we got to work, so stick around, right?
Sure thing.
Our guest is Jessica McIntyre. We'll be right back to talk with Jessica. Trust me, you don't want to miss this episode. We're going to talk about faith, leadership, and service, and it's going to be great. We'll be right back. Hey, and we're back on ServeCast. So you didn't go on Christmas break yet because we're back, right, Kristen?
We're back. We're in here right now in the Studio 22.
Right now, in Studio 22. Now, most people don't really know what Studio 22 looks like, so they have their own imagination. We're not going to tell them any differently because, but the whole idea is that we are local here at Lee University, and our guest today is Jessica McIntyre, and she is in the room. Hi, Jessica.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And sometimes people are not in the room, so sometimes we do these phone interviews. And
oh,
so we're
okay.
Kind of glad when we actually get to do an actual in-house live interview. It's fun
so
for
I
us.
Am in like a secret layer right
this,
now.
This is true.
You can never tell anyone where Studio 22
absolutely.
Is. Privileged information.
I'll probably tell them at some point just because you said that. I don't know. All right. Let me introduce Jessica for you. Jessica is a... Internal Affairs Director for the NCAA Division II at Lee University. So employed by Lee University in the responsibility of internal affairs as it relates to our athletic department. Is that fair enough?
That is fair enough.
And how long have you been at Lee?
So this is my sixth year. So just started my sixth year probably a couple months ago, but kind of got here in a weird way. Hopefully we'll touch on that here in a little bit.
I do want to touch on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That story is pretty remarkable. And so we'll hit on that story a little bit, and you'll be excited to know that God can direct your life as well, much like what Jessica will share some of that today. So, Jessica, tell us briefly as we start this episode, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, are you currently coaching at Lee as well as an internal affairs
right,
director?
Right. So, in my spare time, that's what I do, right? So
you have spare time
spare
at Lee?
Time. A few hours every day. That's what I call it. So, I coach softball at Lee University. I'm one of the assistants. We have three others on staff now.
Yeah.
So, it keeps me pretty busy. But with the director of internal affairs, I know that that's a very intimidating title, one that I feel like people most of the time think I carry a badge or something like that.
Yeah.
I try not to, right? Try to go in with a smile rather than a badge. So hopefully not as intimidating as it sounds.
So now, did you come to Lee, right, to coach softball? Is that what brought you to Lee? Or
no. So I actually, when we were transitioning from NAI to Division II, I was brought in as a consultant. So I was supposed to be here for 3 weeks, and that was it. And then I was supposed to leave. And so, like I said earlier, I've been here for 6 years now. So it kind of didn't work out that way.
So in this first 14 minutes or so that we're going to talk today, we're going to talk about this idea of faith. So here's what I want you to do. Now, your faith was recently challenged, I think. Kristen was reminding me it was 2017. Is that right, Kristen, where you had a bout with cancer? Was it last year?
Yeah, so about this time. So what is today? November 8th? So
November 8th.
About 2 weeks from now, I would have finished my last round of chemotherapy.
Wow.
November 17th was my last day. So I was diagnosed in July of 2017 with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then started about a 4 to 5 month chemo battle, and then from there did radiation through February.
Wow. So where are you now in this process?
So right now, I guess you would say I'm in remission.
Awesome.
And so scans in June, came back clean. We're going to do some more scans here in December. So hopefully same thing.
Now, trust isn't really foreign for you because I've heard part of your story, right? But it hasn't always been that easy for you because you've always wondered really what God's doing, and maybe you had another idea and another plan. So take a few minutes as we talk about this faith perspective. And I heard you share at a Lee Administrator's retreat a couple years ago, and we have been trying to get you into the studio and since then.
Right.
So for those who might be listening today that don't really understand that God does have a plan, take a few minutes, Jessica, walk us through, tell us a snippet of that story you shared that night on how that God brought you to Lee University and how he set your feet here in this place.
So essentially, I guess kind of what I shared at the administrator's retreat was that God used a song to kind of direct some major decisions in my life. I actually shared this at chapel a couple of weeks ago. So yeah. if they were there, but he used Here I Am to Worship, which is that also probably tells my age, right? I guess at that point, this is a little bit of an old song. So there are some major decisions that I made in my life, choosing the right college, and then from college trying to find the right job and the right path. And he was able to use that song to kind of direct me and ultimately assure me that I was where I needed to be. And so when I was graduating high school, I thought I was going to play volleyball, thought I was going to stay close to home, wasn't going to go very far, was going to go to North Alabama. And then some things happened, some coaching changes, those kind of things, and I ended up in a place where I didn't know where I was going. Now it's, you know, March of my senior year, which is really, really late now. If you know anything about athletics, people commit when they're in, you know, junior, sophomore and junior. So it was really late in the game for me. I didn't know what was going to happen. Was probably just going to go to school with my friends because at that point I didn't know what to do. And I had an opportunity to go to Mobile. It was 5 hours away from home. I'm an only child. That was never the plan. My family, nobody in my family thought that was going to work out. Everybody was just kind of pretending that this was going to work out. And so when I went to Mobile, the first weekend I was there, they do something similar to what we do here at New Student Orientation. And I went through it. I didn't love it. So I was ending the week. I was like, I'm leaving. I'm going to finish this week out, but I'm leaving. And I went to a worship service there, and the first song they played was Here I Am to Worship. Wow. And so before I got the offer to go to Mobile, I'd been listening to that song a lot. And so it just kind of brought me a sense of peace that this is where I needed to be. So it was another, just a connection to God at that point. And so then fast forward, ended up at grad school at Belmont, and then from there was trying to make a decision of what I needed to do next. Got an opportunity to work for the NCAA for a year in Indianapolis. Got there, immediately overwhelmed when I got there. Everybody there was smarter, had bigger, greater experience than I did. And similar, just trying to figure out if this is really where I needed to be or if I needed to go. And so first weekend there, we're trying to find a church home, me and a couple of the other people that were working there. And one of the first songs that they played there was Here I Am to Worship. So once again, just showing that God was in control. He was dictating where I needed to go. And then from there, I was trajecting and projecting to go to Power 5 Conference, going to be a compliance director. I had an opportunity to go to a Big 12 school. And once I went on the interview, the whole time during the interview, I just kept thinking about coaching. And so I came back, was offered the job, turned down the job, decided I was going to try to get into coaching. I hadn't coached in 2-3 years at that point. So nobody's in their right mind is going to offer me a job in coaching. So everybody's telling me I'm crazy. I leave the NCAA, don't really have anything going on. And then because Lee was transitioning to Division II, I got a call and just asked to come in for 3 weeks. And so the last day, it was a Friday, I was driving to work, and I hear that song on the radio. And I think, oh, well, you know, maybe God missed on this one because this is my last day. Wow. This isn't what's going to work out. And when I got to work, Coach Carpenter offered me a job. So it's just kind of crazy. It's never the path that I would have chosen for myself, but it's always nice to have that reassurance. So.
Jessica, it sounds like, you know, it's really evident that throughout your life and throughout your journey that God has just kind of continued to reveal his faithfulness to you. And so what I'm wondering is when you received that diagnosis and when you were walking this battle with cancer, you know, how did that affect your relationship with God, and how was God's faithfulness revealed to you through that?
Yeah, so it's really crazy. So when I got the diagnosis in July, I made a phone call to couple people in the office, maybe 7 people knew at that point, and they put me in touch with Stephanie Taylor here on campus. Mm-hmm. And so we went and had lunch, and one of the first things she told me was like, it's going to completely change your relationship with God.
Wow.
You're going to have a different relationship with God than you had before. You're going to be way closer than you ever were. And she goes, I don't know how to describe it, but you'll understand. And she's absolutely right. So it's very tough to put in words, I would say, but just going through something like that and just really seeing him in everything kind of through that journey. So I shared this at chapel last week too, but my prayer became to let me see that, find joy in this. Let me see it, right? Because it's a word, and it's such a scary word. So when you hear that, joy isn't the word people think of.
Sure.
They think of something scary. And so I wanted to be able to see joy. I wanted to be able to see it the way that God would see it. And then I wanted to be a light while I was walking through it in any way I could. And I told them, you know, when you ask for things, you don't really know how much God's going to reveal to you, but he completely opened my eyes to both of those things. So
now when I hear somebody say something like that, right, I get it, because, I mean, I've seen the miraculous as well, and I've been a recipient of the miraculous in my own life personally and also in my family's life. But so unpack this idea that, you know, that you kind of saw God in the middle of that. I mean, how Give us a little bit more details for them, because I mean, we recognize that some people may not be at that level of devotion with God that maybe you developed through this journey. Help others that they're trying to figure this thing out about what
right.
it's like to actually see God.
Yeah, and I think when I would hear people say that, or you know, you would read about it, or you know, reading scripture, and you're like, find joy in this, you don't really understand it because you're thinking, well, how could you find joy in this? Like, it's really hard. It's really tough. It didn't all of a sudden become easier by any means. It was still very hard, very tough. But I think you see the people, you see the little things, the people that are around you. You get to, it's just like little glimpses of sunshine every day is more of how I would describe it. And so whether it be when I was getting treatment and the people that were there and the people that were with me, the people that were treating me, all of those things, and just how much light they were bringing to other people's lives. Or when I was there and knowing that, you know, I had a date where this ended for me and the other people in the room didn't. Just other things like that, where you were able to just see glimpses of things, or just being able to eat a meal. You know, that was one of the big things. Like, I was going to lose my appetite. I was going to lose this, and I didn't. And that wasn't everybody else's journey. And so just little things like that where I was just constantly shown a little bit of grace.
Now, was this an up and down hill, or was this just like a steady climb up? I mean, you know, did one day you see God, the next day you doubted God?
Oh, absolutely, right? Yeah. And so I think the biggest journey for that would have been trying to figure out exactly what it was. So I first felt the knot in my neck in May, and so I didn't get a diagnosis till the middle end of July. So just every day was a battle of, is this or isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then even when you, every time I, and I think that's really what helped me just to really find the trust, because I just kept waiting to get a final answer before I shared anything. And then every time I thought we were going to get an answer, we didn't. We got another doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. And then so finally I was just like, all right, I get it. I'm just going to tell everybody I have it. Like, I'm just going to be honest and transparent mm-hmm. with everybody. And once I did that, it immediately released a burden. But I was waiting for a final destination, mm-hmm. and I wasn't getting it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's where God was leading me.
Well, how have you seen this played out in your relationship with students, you know, as to how you've been able to encourage students in their own journeys of development in their faith?
Right. I think going into it, I never looked at myself in that regard. I don't think that I was trying to be, I guess, an encouragement. But the biggest thing for me was, I think they were more of an encouragement for me than I was for them. So working with the softball staff, that piece was really, really helpful, because every day I just wanted to be normal. And in all other facets of my life, I wasn't. But getting to show up to practice every day, whether I could help or whether I couldn't help, I got to be normal. They treated me how I showed up. So if I showed up and I was ready to do anything, the girls there treated me like the same Jess that I was 5 months before. Mm-hmm. And some of that because they hadn't been around anybody with cancer. So I might have been the first person they were around with cancer. Mm-hmm. So I knew that how I showed up every day would impact them going forward.
So now that you're in remission, right? And
yeah.
So you're just trusting the Lord in that. Your body's building back, getting stronger and stronger. How have you seen yourself differently now, you know, than you were back 5 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago?
So I've been told that I'm a lot more sympathetic and empathetic. Those were not words in my vocabulary before, right?
Like really?
No, not at all. So I think that those things are that would be the biggest change for me, that I can understand and feel where people are coming from more than I was able to before.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we just got a couple of minutes left on this particular segment of this episode today. What would you say to somebody out there who is struggling with trying to learn? Because there's a difference between saying, okay, God, I see you, God, I trust you. But when God wants you to trust other people, human beings that are breathing alongside you, mm-hmm. and you've not yet maybe developed that trust level with them, how could you encourage someone today that they can trust other people? You know, God sometimes puts other people in our lives, as he did with Stephanie, right? To be a challenge, a mentor, a help, a friend, you know, a coach. How do you encourage somebody on how they can pursue that?
I think the biggest thing is willing to be vulnerable.
Okay.
Right? You got to let your guard down. You got to let people in sometimes, because there's a lot of people out there that want to help you. And I've always heard this joke, and it's like a guy is drowning in the ocean, right? Mm. And then a boat passes, and he's like, no, God's going to save me. And then another boat passes, and he's like, no, God's going to save me. And then finally the guy drowns, and then he gets to heaven, and he's like, what happened? And God's like, well, I sent three boats. What do you mean? And so he's putting people in your life to help you, whether you realize it or not, but you got to be vulnerable and willing to kind of let that guard down to let them in.
Did you journal at all during this?
So I did not.
Yeah.
And the reason, so I'm a very auditory learner.
Okay.
And so I'm not that way. I wrote a lot of things down in my phone and took a lot of pictures of different scripture, different videos, different things like that. So kind of journaled in my own way, but nothing where I wrote down.
Well, hopefully one day you'll be able to write a book and tell the story, you know, for sure. All right, Jessica, you're not leaving. And our guests are going to take just a quick short break. We'll be right back to talk about this idea of leadership. And we'll listen to Jessica. She gives us some great insight on how to be a leader at the collegiate level. Back to Servcast, and we're glad you're with us. Now we're continuing our conversation with Jessica McIntyre, my co-host Christian. What you got?
Hey guys. So Jessica, as you were talking in our service segment, or our faith segment, you said this thing about how when you were battling with cancer, and when you were receiving your treatments, you continued to show up to practice. And that blows me away. I don't know if you are aware, but I don't know if many people would put themselves in that position to, you know, be going through this really hard thing that's, I'm sure, incredibly debilitating and life-changing. And yet you were so consistent in showing up to practice. And so I kind of just wonder what kept you going back to practice and what kept you consistent with all of your leadership roles that you're maintaining?
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective, right? I think when I was in it, you don't really think anything about it. This was the day I have a job to do. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when I just remember talking to the doctors about it and before and where I was going to do treatment and all those things. And there was a discussion of if I should go home. Should I go to Nashville? Should I stay here? And I landed on staying here, and I wanted to stay here because I wanted, and I said it before, I wanted as much normalcy as I could have. And so, and the doctors agreed that they thought that was very vital in what I was doing, and that just maintaining a routine. I tried to work out. I worked out for probably the first month of treatments because I just wanted to do as much as I could. And so, I don't say that to say that I'm some superhero, like that it was terrible, right? And there were days that were terrible and I was terrible. But I think just from
I think you also had a terrible workout this morning, but we won't go there, right? So, yeah.
Skipped it for Starbucks, right? So, but I needed that from a mental perspective.
Okay.
I had injuries in my athletic career, and what I did after. When I was injured, I went to therapy, and you stayed on a routine. And I think I faced it in that same way, as like, okay, this is what it is. This is an injury. How do I fix it? What do I need to do? And then let's keep going along. And the people around me most of the time said I was crazy and this is absurd and you need to go home. You need to do this. And I just kept asking for them just to let me be normal. And so I don't think I did anything. I don't think there was anything obscure from my part. It's just that's the only way I knew how to handle it.
So you were a high school athlete, you were a college athlete, now you're coaching college, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have 18 collegiate sports here at Lee
we
University.
Do.
How many of those are female teams?
Oh, that's a great question, and I should definitely know that.
Yeah, let's just say 6 or something. I don't know, but yeah, so now who has the badge, right?
That's
this
right,
is kind of
good. Right.
Yeah, shift sides. I didn't really do that to stun you on that, but I was just kind of interested in let's talk about this idea of women's sports in athletics, in particular at a faith-based institution. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, from a competitive standpoint, it looks the same. Looks the same as
sure.
it would at any institution, right? Like, our kids are out there, they're working hard each and every day to be the best in their sport. The difference for us is that we want to be really, really good competitively, but we also want to be out there and be witnesses for God. And that's the difference. And I think a lot of people oftentimes think that you have to give one to do the other. And we disagree. We think that we can be extremely competitive and we can be the best in our sport, but we also can be great witnesses for God.
All right. So tell us then, how do you encourage that? You know, we also realize that not everybody who comes to Lee University espouses the concept of faith. We get that, right? So in what ways do you encourage this faith perspective in a leadership model?
Yeah, and I think it differs per sport, right? And so I think that each coach kind of handles it in their own way, which is great. And we encourage that, right? Because it's more honest in that regard. And then it's also that's who you're around more. From a softball perspective, we try to spend time with our girls. We try to get to know them as people. And then, we encourage them to be great off the field, but we also encourage them to be great on the field. We do life skills programs with them. We do life skills programs with all of our athletes. But as far as faith, just in particular, I think for girls, it's often harder.
Okay.
Because
why is that?
And I think it's from a competitive standpoint. I think it's a tough balance to be competitive, but then also show you the grace of God. And so little implements that we do, I mean, we, all of our sports pray with the opposing team after the game. And so, but to do that, that means while you're playing, you got to act a certain way too. Right. So, and we always say that if you're going to pray with them before, or if you're praying with them after the game, then you're praying with them after the game, after you win, after the game, if you lose.
Jessica, you obviously hold several leadership positions on campus, and more power to you for that. But what I'm wondering is, throughout your personal journey, kind of obtaining these leadership roles, are there any instances that you can think of that you've kind of faced a stumbling block being able to obtain these roles because of the fact that you're a woman?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say, I wouldn't call it a stumbling block, right? I think that you do have to, you have to show yourself and prove yourself a little differently than if I were a guy, especially in the athletic world. I don't think that's necessarily the case here. I feel like all my colleagues, all the coaches, they respect me. I think the people in administration respect me. So I don't think that's necessarily the case here. But yeah, outside of these walls, it's looked at a little differently than it would be here.
What are some things that people need to know as we look at that? You know, what are some ways that just fans, you know, onlookers can encourage our athletes to maintain their competitive nature, you know, and also pursue their own Christian faith?
Yeah, I mean, one of our assistant softball coaches shared the verse, you know, everybody runs the race, but you know, only one person wins. And so she shared that. And so I think a lot of times, like, we run the race, but we're not running to win, but it's okay to win. And I think a lot of times we forget that piece. And so I think just those subtle reminders each and every day that, hey, it's okay. It's okay to be your best. It's okay to compete with your friend and then still be friends afterwards, and what that looks like. And so just subtle reminders, because you're competing in the classroom. We're competing other places. But sometimes on the field, it's a little different, and we feel like it should look different, especially for those that are around people that aren't necessarily Christian, and what that looks like, and how can you be competitive, still be a witness for them that may not know Christ, but then also compete with them every day.
Yeah, I was thinking earlier, as you mentioned that just a moment ago, and you're back to it now, this whole idea that maybe sometime this false humility kind of perspective, you know, that, okay, I'm a believer, I'm a, you know, faith follower in Christ, right? So, I'm going to prefer you. Not on the softball field, I'm not going to prefer you, right? I'm going to try to, you know, out-hit you, outrun you, and definitely throw you out, right?
Right.
So how do you build that? How do you build that competitive spirit and then not lessening the faith principle? Give us some how-to steps. I mean, walk us through, coaches for a minute, walk us through some how-to steps for people who are at the competitive level, but they're also faith walkers, and they're like, man, you know, can I still be excellent and competitive? Give them some how to every day. You talked a moment ago about digging in the Word, being consistent. You know, we're new on your team. Here we are sitting here. You know, you're our coach. Walk us through some practicals how to do that.
Yeah. So I think the first thing is surrounding yourself with other people that can do that.
Okay.
So I would hope that we would have a culture on our team, right, and establish that other people on our team are able to do that, And then you gotta be able to do both. You gotta show a little bit of grace. And so what we do with our girls, we bring them in, we give them bigs and littles.
Okay.
So we immediately pair them with somebody that's already done it, right? And then from there, we do a book club with our kids and what that looks like. And so we
talk about that.
Yeah, we read John Gordon books.
Okay.
And so John Gordon, he has a lot of his are athletic minded. But it's applicable to many other things. So we read a book in the fall. We read a book
novel
in the spring.
Idea that a sports team would actually read a book at a college while they're already working in the college.
Right.
I mean, in academics in the day. Give us a break, Jessica. Come on.
I know,
on.
Right? We're really asking a lot of our kids. But we read with them. And so what happens is each class, so we'll have the freshmen. They'll read with maybe our GA. I think this year I have the juniors, and we're going to read Hard Hat, which is a lacrosse book. And so it comes at it, and it talks about sport in a way that's kind of hidden. And so it teaches you how to be competitive. How do you do that? What does it look like? And I think you get to know your kids on a personal level at that point. So then they can be vulnerable. We talked about that earlier, where how can people help you? We got to be vulnerable for people to help you. So I may not necessarily know what you need personally if I'm just coming at you from a softball perspective.
Right.
But if I spend a little bit of time with you off the court or off the field, then now I know exactly what you need, what you struggle with. And maybe – and kind of get to know you on that level. We do prayer requests every day, trying to figure out those kind of things and what, like, and they can be as simple as I have an accounting test today.
Sure.
You know, and anything. So every day is just little examples of what faith looks like. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, really pushing yourself to be the best. We work out. I mean, we talk to our girls about the coaches working out every day. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're trying to keep ourselves and make ourselves the best, then why wouldn't you be able to?
Modeling the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to this book again. Let's talk about this. So you do one book per year, one book per semester.
One book per semester. Okay. And so it's kind of cycled out. We have a nice little pattern. So ideally they'll read 7 books before they graduate, and their last semester, their senior year, they do a mini life skills session with just different people.
Now, are other teams doing this or just you guys?
So I think other teams are also reading. I know tennis reads the energy bus. I think baseball reads some stuff with their guys. So I think different coaches are doing that. I know that Bubba's doing some things with his team. So I think people are really starting to pour into their athletes off the field.
Now, what is this doing with a multi-tier mentoring model on your team? So what does that look like? Are are your seniors then mentoring your freshmen, or your juniors and your sophomores, or what does that look like?
Yes, so we started this probably 3 years ago, so I think we're starting to get that established model that we were looking for. And I think that's it. I think before, I mean, kids are different each year, different generation, different kids every year. So I think maybe 7 years ago, this wasn't necessary. People just showed up and did what the coach said, and that was it. And now it's a little different. It's not bad, but now they just need more education. They want to know why. Mm-hmm. And so if they have other people that are, and you're constantly pouring into them and teaching them how to lead, then I think they're more willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, leadership is defined as influence. That's what most people say. You know, if you're a leader, you have influence. It also occurs in relationships. Leadership's a process. It's not something that's a quick, you know, destination per se. Mm-hmm. It's really a journey. And it moves people toward a common goal. We get that. But the question I have for you now is, somebody's going to probably say at some point, if they haven't already, that their hero is Jessica McIntyre. So who is Jessica McIntyre's hero? Yeah. Who is your favorite, maybe not favorite, but a leader that you continue, you mentioned John Gordon a while ago, but a leader that you continually look to help model from them, you know, as you continue to build your own coaching career?
Right. From a coaching perspective, it would be John Wooden.
Okay.
I don't think you can have a better model than he,
And why?
He won, right? Okay. So I think that's the first thing people normally measure coaches by. Do you win? He won 10 national championships,
right? I mean,
so
if you don't win games, why do you need to be here, right?
He's pretty good. So you have that aspect. And then the stuff that he did off the court with his student athletes, and just the love that his student athletes still share about today. I mean, there's countless books written about John Wooden, and none of them really have to do with basketball. Mm-hmm. They all have to do about with what he taught his kids off the court and how he helped them become the men that they are now. So I think that would be the goal, right? That, yes, we're successful on the softball field, but then in 7 years, kids are impacted by the things that they learned here at Lee that they are now still using in their life.
In a personal way, off the court, off the field, who's a hero?
Oh,
for you?
My grandmother, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
She's amazing, right? So she worked till she was 80 in a factory.
Wow.
And so anybody that can do that, she had 7 kids. She's phenomenal. And then nobody has influenced me more than she has. Like, she loves the Lord. Like, she is like big, big impact on my life.
So what do you say? We've got a couple minutes left on this segment. What do you say to a college athlete who's aspiring to go into coaching, or a coach out here who's just, they're unsettled, but they haven't yet discovered, you know, that where they need to go, what they need to do, how do they stay engaged in the process until God opens up a different door for them?
I think the biggest thing is you got to figure out your why. It's in anything, right? Whether it's coaching or whatever you're doing, you got to figure out your why and why you like it.
Yep.
So do you like it because it's something you've always done? It's probably not the area that you need to be in.
Good.
Do you like it because, you know, you're impacting other people? Do you like it because you're always learning? It's always changing. Those are good reasons to stay in it. And if you can really harness your why and why you're doing something, then I think at that point, just continue to learn and then be where your feet are. Somebody told me that a while back. I think I was probably in college. Be where your feet are. I think it's easy to look around and try to find something bigger and better, always. But if you're not where your feet are and you're not doing your job where you're at, you're never going to move on to the next thing. So even though it might be stagnant sometimes, be where your feet are. Be the greatest you can be where you're at. And then when the opportunity comes, you'll know.
Good stuff. We're going to move right into, after this short break, our third segment, and we're going to talk about service. And Jessica McIntyre is going to stay with us in the Studio 22, and Kristen will bring us right back.
All right, and we're back with ServeCast in Studio 22. I'm here with Dr. William Lim and Jessica McIntyre. Jessica, how are you feeling?
Feeling good.
Good. William, how about you?
I'm excited. I'm excited. I worked out this morning. No, maybe it was yesterday morning, actually. And I did not go to Starbucks.
Sometimes so, you have to just have to skip it, right?
Yeah, I don't hate Starbucks. I don't like coffee. I do like their little ice cream they have there. It's not really ice cream. It's like flavored. What is it I get? It's like that little vanilla bean, man. Yeah. It's like cold.
This is
it's
not a
great.
Sponsored podcast, by the way.
It should
put that
be.
Out there.
So, yeah, thank you. Bring us back, Kristen.
All right, Jessica. So we're going to move into this this idea of service now. And obviously, you know, we're a very service-oriented campus. We like to teach our students to be service-oriented in everything that they do. And so what I'm wondering about your position with your teams, with your girls, do you guys have any sort of consistent service that you participate in? Or how do you, encourage your girls to serve with their busy lives that they lead?
Right. Yeah, I think sport to sport, right? So everybody... Lee is unique in the sense that each sport pretty much has their own event. Like, so women's soccer, kicking it for kids with cancer.
Sure.
So they're heavily involved at the Hatch House. You have volleyball, who's doing Volley for a Cure, who's, you know, with Mary Ellen Loker. And then for us, we do Strike Out Cancer. And so what we typically do is we either do clinics or we'll host a tournament. And our kids spend a lot of time with a lot of local kids. We do a lot of free clinics. I know tennis just did a free clinic for some kids. So they use their sport for service. And I think that's a good way to ease kids into it, because I think it comes natural, right? And so it's their natural connection with the community. And so that way, when they start this idea of service and they're first learning about it, it's a natural communication. And so it's easy for me, if I'm talking to somebody about softball, then we can talk about anything. I can talk about how their day went. I can talk about, you know, what's it like to be a fifth grader, whatever they got going on that day. And so I think it just kind of opens more doors, and I know our kids are more comfortable in that area. And then we try to branch them out. I know I work with a student athlete advisory committee. We've talked about doing Habitat. We've talked about doing soup kitchens, anything like that. But once they kind of get past that first couple years, now they're more open. They're wanting to serve. They're looking for opportunities to do that in a different light.
So how have you seen a student's performance on the field different as a result of their willingness to serve in the community?
Yeah, I think that this is going to sound really bad, but I think a lot of times when we're playing, and naturally, you become a focus on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put things in perspective, or you go out and you serve, the focus becomes not on you, it becomes on others. And most of the time, while you're there to serve others, you get more out of it than they do, because of just, you know, your interaction with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of times our athletes, when they have that opportunity and they're out there and they're serving, the focus becomes less on them and how they did at their performance. They can just really pour into other people's relationships at that point.
You said this thing, you said that you encourage your girls to use their sport for service. And I think that's such an important thing to think about, you know, to use what we have and to use the talents that God has given us in order to serve him well. So how do you think we can practically identify, maybe it's not an athletic ability for all of us, but how do you think we can identify that thing in our life that God has given us in order to serve others better with it?
Yeah, I mean, I would love for my service to have been singing, but that would have been a punishment for everybody else.
Me too, girlie, me too.
So I think it's the thing
that's great.
That brings you joy, right? It comes easy. It comes easy,
yeah.
It comes natural, and it just brings you joy. Whether it is singing, whether it's, you know, playing a musical instrument, whether it's drawing, you know, like I sit and look at different things, or just sitting. Maybe people are just great listeners. You know, there's a lot of people out there that need great listeners. Maybe you're a great chef.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything that you just comes natural and you find joy in, other people need that in their life.
Mm-hmm. So softball's not going to last forever, right?
Right.
For everyone, right?
Right.
So somebody at some point's going to hang up the, you know, I used to play softball, not competitively on a team, but I was quite competitive on a team that wasn't necessarily a collegiate team. It's old guys who get out and throw a ball, right, and
yeah.
Hit one. So I quit that stuff later on. You know, for our students that are playing now in all of our sports, you know, very few of them will ever go pro. Some may. We have the history of that. But how do you motivate students to understand that this is at some point going to end, but this is developing you so that your commitment to service for the long haul. One of the requirements at Lee University is to educate our students on responsible citizenship. You know, we're building within students the mindset that service now matters, but it's building and shaping a lifestyle of service. So how have you seen this, maybe in some of your alums that are out here that, you know, we know they're out in the world, where are they serving, what are they doing, and how has this been impacted by that?
Right. I think a lot of times when you think as an athlete, you don't realize the life skills that you're learning through your sport. And so I think that's a big key thing for us. It has been for, we started it last year, we're doing it this year as well. Just pointing that out, right? I mean, just talking to our kids about resumes and those kind of things, and just maybe you don't have as much experience as the other kid next to you, mm-hmm. but you've got some experience in some different ways and just some life skills that you maybe you have that other people don't. And then as far as service, I think just seeing it constantly, right? You mentioned alumni come back, each sport has a different alumni events and getting connected with them, and then just seeing the things that they're doing, hearing about the things in the way that they're still pouring into people and mm-hmm. just making it, you know, a constant presence around them. I don't think this is a thing. We're not teaching them to serve to get hours.
Right.
We're
right.
teaching them to serve and the importance of service so that it can impact them moving forward. Not mm-hmm. only impact them, but impact the people around them.
Mm-hmm. I teach as well here at Lee University, and I've had the benefit of having some athletes in my classes, you know, and I'll tell you in particular, you know, these guys, man, they work their guts out. You know, they really, really work hard. And I've had some of the softball players, and it's been really fun to watch them over the years because, you know, they're kind of managing these heavy, crazy schedules, you know, between athletics and academics. And what do you think is the success story? Because a lot of these students, maybe not every student, but most of the athletes that I have seen have just been superior in the classroom, and they've been superior, you know, in their respect for other people. How is that being shaped? I mean, are they just naturally born that way, or are you guys intentional about holding them accountable at every level?
I would say it's a mixture, right? So you're going to bring in if a kid gets to the college level,
right,
in their sport, then they have some dedication, right? They have some drive, and to have drive, then they need to be able to apply it in other aspects of their life. And so they're able to apply it academically, they're able to apply it athletically, and they're able to apply it socially. Mm-hmm. And so all three aspects. So I think some of it is innate almost. And then the other aspect is once they get here, then we want to surround them with great people. Mm. And so we think our coaching staff, we think they are great people. We think the professors here are great people. So they're constantly getting that message in front of them that, mm-hmm. yes, you're here, but it's not good enough. We can do more, right? Yeah. And trying to get the best out of everybody. So that way when they leave here, they're not leaving here with the thought that if I don't go pro, I don't have anything.
Right.
They're leaving right. here with, I'm going to have a career in business, and this mm-hmm. is what I'm going to do to impact everybody around me.
Mm-hmm. So I know that especially on this campus, student athletes are some of the busiest people I have ever met in my life. I know that it is so hard for them to catch a breath. They are always running around trying to keep up with everything. And so what I'm wondering is how, in your own personal experience, and maybe the way that you encourage your girls, how do you prioritize service when you have so much going on and so much that you're committed to? How do you make service a priority when you lead a busy life?
Yeah, I mean, most of these kids are getting up and they're at weights at 6 a.m. and mm-hmm. then they're going to class. And when they finish class, they're practicing until 6. And then after that, they're going to try to get something in the calf. And then they're going to study hall. And then they start all over, right? Mm-hmm. So their days are absolutely crammed. But I think it's difficult to say that we prioritize service, right? Because I think it's more of the kids that we bring in. They want to do that, right? Good. So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily that we're making them do those things. These are ways that they want to get involved. Like they love being involved in the community. Most of them really enjoy working with kids and just being around sports and being those kind of things. Once again, using their gifts like we talked about, but they like that. So I wouldn't mm-hmm. say it's forced upon them in any way. So I don't even know if we have to encourage it. Mm-hmm. It's great that it's there and it is part of our curriculum. Just makes it easier because then us as coaches, we have to prioritize it. I think that's more of
right.
what changes. I wouldn't say that our kids change. I would say that we change our right. philosophy and prioritize it.
One of my favorite quotes as it relates to Lee Athletics comes with Cliff Schimmels. Now, you know who Cliff was. Mm-hmm. And Cliff was a friend of mine and actually just a great, great guy. And Dr. Khan accounts this story from time to time of whenever Cliff was talking to one of our coaches and said, you know, now that you've got these students here, you know, let's change their life. pull a story from your big bank of stories for a minute as we get ready to wrap up this episode and actually get ready to wrap up or this segment and this entire episode. Pull a story of a changed life. Somebody that you have impacted and their life has been changed because of the willingness to not just play ball, but to really dig in and say, I'm committed for the long haul for this student's life to be different.
Yeah, there's so many, right? I would say there's countless ones every year. The ones that stick out to me right now are nurses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody knows this or most people know this, but a lot of schools don't allow their student athletes to do nursing.
Mm.
We do.
I did not know that.
So we get several kids here, especially on the softball team. I think we have four right now that are in the nursing major. It's hard. It's difficult, right? So I just listed off their athletic schedule, then put a nursing schedule on top of that, right?
Yeah.
So it takes a unique kid to do it, but most schools say no.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even give them the opportunity. So just us being willing to do that changes that kid's life, right? Because if not, she's going to come here, get a degree that she doesn't need.
Right.
Potentially go back and get a degree or not and then never be a nurse, right? So by impacting her life and giving her that opportunity, now you're impacting several people's lives because now she's a nurse and she's able to serve and really use the gifts that she was intended to use.
And your recent journey with cancer.
Right.
You definitely
absolutely have a great
nurses.
Appreciation for it.
Yeah. What a story. I had no clue about that. I did not even know. Didn't know that. It's very interesting. All right, Jessica, we're going to wrap up with this. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak to the heart of the people out there who, again, let's recap for a minute. You know, you've come through a journey of cancer. You have come through a journey of trusting that God had a place that he wanted to plant you. And you have found that for at least this season. We like it, and we hope it's long term. We don't know that. We'll see. But, you know, speak to the heart of people out here who just might be at the end of the rope today. And they're like, you know what? I hear what she's saying, but I've had too many negatives. You know, my dream. But also the person who didn't make it to the collegiate level, but yet they can still contribute using their gift in their community, you know, and they can still make a difference in the world. Your last chance to speak in the lives of people that are listening to us today and to make an impact in their life.
Yeah. So I think I would end it with it's okay to make plans. It's okay to have dreams. It's okay to have goals. But the biggest thing is would be to trust God in that, right? So if you feel like you're at the end, then talk to him. Talk to him about it. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that I didn't realize that I wasn't doing, right? So I was reading my Bible, but I wasn't having honest conversations with God. And so when you get sick, things kind of change, right? Like you kind of start laying it all out there, like what is going on? What's about to happen? And so have those honest conversations with God. It's okay. And then I think... Ask for what you want. Ask for clarity. Ask for drive. Ask for opportunity. Whatever it is that you're seeking, ask for it. And then see what happens, right? And then be willing to kind of pivot, right? Pivot your goals if they need to be, right? If things are getting thrown in front of you repeatedly, maybe it's okay to pivot. And maybe there's something greater for you out there. But if we get stuck into our own plans and we're not willing to ask, communicate, or any of those things, I think it's easy to get bogged down, right? Things get tough sometimes, but if we don't talk to anybody about it and we just kind of relish in the negative, then that's where we're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Our friend Gary Riggins gives a great quote out there, and he says that trust is defined as a risk survived. Mm-hmm. And you have been a living illustration for us today, Jessica, on what does it mean to trust God before the difficulty, in the difficulty, and in the celebration after the transformation from the difficulty. And so we appreciate you. We thank you for what you do at Lee University. We're delighted to have you in Studio 22. And thanks again for your time, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, guys, hang tight for just a minute. You're going to hear a Lee U worship tune as you try to process what's happened on this episode today. And hopefully you'll be reminded that, as Jessica said earlier, we're all made for more. And let's get out and make a difference in the world using whatever gift or craft that the Creator has deposited into you today. Until next time, Studio 22, we're out. Have a great day. Our God.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on Servcast. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes and share us on Facebook. Hey, if you've got any questions, send them to servcast22@gmail.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Servcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, his guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.